Hello, namaste, Tashi Dele. I hope everybody's good. I don't have a lot of time. I just wanted to say hello to everybody for a few minutes. I know right now the world is having a lot of difficulty and there's a great deal of suffering, and there are a lot of people that are having a variety of different problems, financial problems, depression, anxiety. There's so much difficulty in the world right now. And as Buddhists, we are called to remember the First Noble Truth, in which the Buddha said there is suffering. And of course, there's also a cause for suffering, right? And the cause of suffering, really, to distill it down to a very simple thing, is self-grasping and self-cherishing. It's really this over obsession with the self, with me, and getting everything we want. So what I wanted to say is that A, all of the suffering we're going through is normal for samsara. We all suffer. It's part of the path for samsaric beings. The reason we suffer is because we have produced the karma to suffer. If we want to look around the world and understand the root cause for all this suffering, then we can understand that the karmic causes have been planted as seeds. And that's why the world is in such a difficult place. And so when we have problems in our lives, we should not be so surprised, because at the end of the day, these problems are normal in samsara. Samsara is marked by suffering. So what can we do about the suffering right in front of us? One of the best things we can do is we can focus on impermanence. Moment to moment, everything is moving. Over in the distance, there's a tree blowing. The tree is dancing in the wind. The birds are chirping and singing. The wind's blowing. I'm breathing. My heart is beating. Everything is constantly changing. Nothing is permanent. So if you're happy, don't cling to it because it's going to change. If you're unhappy, don't cling to it because it's going to change. The more we understand that everything is movement, everything around us is constantly moving. Again, you look up here at these trees, you can see them dancing. The clouds are in the sky, but those clouds won't be there too long. Before you know it, the clouds will have dissolved back into the sky, and then they'll come back again, and it will rain and storm and snow and thunder and lightning. And then the sun will come again. The leaves on the trees are going to fall soon. Right now it's August, so the leaves will soon fall, and then it will be frozen for a time. So if you're feeling anxiety, sadness, depression, anger, frustration, jealousy, pride, whatever, no matter what, no matter how bad it is, just remember, soon it will change. Nothing will last. Your heart's beating right now, that's constant change. You're breathing, that's constant change. You're shifting as you sit, you're shifting. We move. We never really sit still, because as soon as we sit still, we become uncomfortable. So then we shift all day long. There's nothing but movement. Everywhere there's movement, even subtle movement, which we cannot see. So therefore, my dear friends, out of love and compassion for you and me, I pray that all of you let go. Don't cling to anything. Remember, everything's impermanent. And if you're a Dharma practitioner, think about death, because the only thing we can do at the time of death, the only thing that could help us, is the holy Dharma. Okay? I love all of you. I dedicate the merit of this post to all precious beings. Take care, my friends. Tashi Dele, namaste. Bye. Hello, my dear friends. Tashi Dele, namaste. Hope everybody's good. Hello, Good afternoon. Earlier I posted and I was talking a little bit about how we can let go of the causes of suffering by focusing on the impermanence, which is the fact that everything is changing. So if a negative emotion comes into the mind, such as anger, attachment, delusion, jealousy, and pride, then we can just remember that that emotion is going to dissolve very soon, just like a cloud in the sky. So all of the clouds that you see in the sky there, they're only going to be there. Now they've appeared as a result of karmic cause and effect. So the karma that produced those clouds has caused the clouds to arise, but the clouds are going to dissolve on their own because the karma that produced them is impermanent, and therefore the clouds themselves are also impermanent. So the karma we've already created is in the past. So we've created karma yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago, a life ago, 10 lives ago, 100 lives ago. We've been creating karma since beginningless time. And therefore, whatever arises now, we need a way to manage it in a way that doesn't make us unhappy. So we can let go of whatever arises, understanding this is just karma. But then what about how do we create the causes for happiness in the future? I forgot to talk about that during my last post. And the way that we create the causes for happiness is by walking the path of the six paramitas. Sorry about my dog. She's talkative. The way we create the causes for happiness is by walking the path of the six paramitas. So generosity, patience, joyful effort, concentration, wisdom, and ethical discipline. All of these things they'll plant seeds, because karma is anything we think, say, and do, right? So anything we think, say, or do will plant seeds. And then those seeds will come to fruition when the time is right. So therefore, if we want to produce the causes for happiness, love, compassion, generosity, these types of things will produce the causes for happiness. What creates the causes for suffering is selfishness, anger, hatred, greed. Really, the self-obsession, the self-grasping, me, 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 the thought of me, me, me. Also, the thought that phenomena are established inherently or intrinsically. The idea that phenomena are established intrinsically is the idea that phenomena exist independently of causes and conditions, parts, and the mind that conceives of them or conceives and labels them. So the idea that phenomena exist independently causes us to see the world as if it's solid, stable, and independent, and then we cling to it as if it's real. But actually, there are two truths. One truth is that phenomena do exist conventionally. So in the conventional world, we use words, ideas, thoughts. So phenomena do exist conventionally, but the ultimate truth is that phenomena are empty of independent, intrinsic, inherent existence. So if we start to understand that phenomena are dependently arising phenomena, then we start to change our whole entire outlook on the world. So for example, if you're behind somebody in traffic, or somebody's driving poorly, and they're irritating you, you could think, oh, they're awful, right? That's a thought that comes into the mind. Anger, oh, they're so bad. Or you could think they're driving that way because somebody taught them how to drive that way. Isn't that too bad that they drive that way? Somebody taught them the wrong way to drive, and the person that taught them learned how to drive from somebody else, and that person learned how to drive from somebody else. So if you're angry at somebody on the road, who are you really angry at? It's like a string of dominoes. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, highway. And they each taught each other how to drive. And so therefore, once you start to think about dependent origination, it's really easy to let go of things because you realize that all of my life I've been getting angry or having emotions for things that simply don't exist the way that they appear to exist. So phenomena exist in a very, very deceptive way. So that's the study of dependent origination, which is also called emptiness or lack of inherent existence or voidness of inherent existence. But I kind of got off track a little bit. The real point was, when phenomena arise in our lives, every experience we have is a result of karma. So if you contemplate its impermanence, every second is impermanent. Your heart's beating right now. You're hearing me talk right now. My mouth is moving. I'm making sounds. The only reason that I'm able to talk is because impermanence allows sounds to be created. If there was no impermanence, we wouldn't be able to talk or eat or breathe. Our heart wouldn't beat. Everything would be static, and that's not how things exist. So when anything arises, whether it's good or bad, happy, sad, if you're very, very sick or very, very healthy, just remember that it's just a temporary arising resulting from past karma, and you're purifying it. So it's actually very, very beneficial because you're purifying the negative karma that caused the anger or the sickness or the sadness or the financial problems. You are curing and purifying past karma from any suffering that arises. So therefore, you think two things. One, it's really wonderful that I'm suffering because if I hadn't suffered today, I was going to have to suffer sometime because I've already produced the causes of karmic, I've planted the karmic seeds and produced the causes for this experience to come up, whether it's anger, sadness, sickness, financial problems, whatever the problem is, we've already produced that karma. So it's going to come up. It must come up. Okay. So that's the first thing, is this is just the result of karma. And this is how samsara works. So there's no need to be upset about it, because actually, instead of thinking of it as a bad thing, we can think of it as the fact that I'm purifying this negative karma. I'd rather do it now than do it later, because you're going to have to purify the karma. But the second thing is very powerful, is just remember it's impermanent. It's temporary. The karma that's arising now is not going to last forever. There is no reason to be so upset because you're just experiencing it for a moment and then it's going to pass. And then what about, how do we create the causes for happiness? Well, that's actually just love and compassion. If we love other sentient beings, which is the wish for them to be happy without any expectation of anything in return, then we're going to be generous. We're going to be patient. We're going to do things to benefit those sentient beings rather than being so focused on ourselves and only thinking about ourselves. We're going to do things to benefit those sentient beings. And when we act out of love, compassion, bodhicitta, by the way, love is the wish for people to be happy. Love is the wish for other living beings to be happy. Compassion is the wish for other living beings not to suffer. Bodhicitta is the wish to become a fully enlightened Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. So if everything we do is based on the intention of bodhicitta, love, and compassion, then everything we do is going to benefit sentient beings. So if you wash your hands, while you're washing your hands, you can actually keep the thought, may this benefit sentient beings. When you wake up in the morning, think to yourself, may everything I do today be done with the thought of benefiting other sentient beings. When you go to work in the morning, think to yourself, may everything I do, my dog gets mad at the neighbors when the neighbors come out. So when you take any actions, just think to yourself, may whatever I'm doing right now be done for the benefit of all sentient beings. Then when you take action, all of your behavior will start to produce positive karma, because anything done with the intention of love, compassion, generosity, selflessness, meaning thinking of the welfare of others, anything done with those motivational factors or motivating intentions, when your intention is motivated by the wish to benefit others, then whatever you do is going to produce the causes for happiness. Now, conversely, whenever you take action, which is thought, speech, and words, or I'm sorry, thought, speech, and action, the three, body, speech, and mind, thought, speech, and action. Whenever you do one of those items based upon the selfish wish of me, my, attachment, desire, jealousy, pride, anger, ignorance, those six poisons or five poisons, that's going to produce the causes for suffering. So what we want to do is we want to convert our mentality into a mentality that is solely based on the welfare of other sentient beings. That's not always easy, because we have had self-cherishing and self-grasping since time immemorial, which means that from beginningless time, we've always been addicted to the thought of me, my, what can I get, what can I enjoy? And so there is instinctual, we have instincts to act in a way that is very selfish. So we are instinctually selfish. But it's very easy to change that, because once we, for example, when a baby is born, the baby is given soft, unconditional love from the mother. The mother even feeds the baby with her own breasts. So the very first experience most of us have in the world is an experience of love and compassion. So therefore, it is natural for us to experience and live with love and compassion. But there's also a part of us that has natural instincts for selfishness. So we really need to start to change our motivation. If our motivation can change from selfish me to may everything I do bring happiness, benefit to other sentient beings, then we will produce the causes for happiness. It's kind of like the law of gravity. You know, the way the Buddha taught was so scientific. He taught us the tools. And the lamas and the gurus and the Rinpoches and the Bhantes and the Hajans, all of these wonderful, beautiful, loving, compassionate teachers are teaching us the same thing, which is the path to happiness. And they're teaching us how to relinquish and destroy the suffering that causes us to be unhappy. So again, it's a path of intention, creating the strong intention again and again. Just try to set a goal, maybe 5 times, 10 times today, 15 times the next day, 20 times the next day. How many times can I bring to mind the positive intention of may what I'm doing right now benefit all sentient beings? If you go and eat food, His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche has taught beautiful teachings on the Gana Chakra Tsok offering. And he said, when you eat, remember that there are millions and billions of microscopic sentient beings living inside of your body. And when you eat, instead of selfishly thinking, oh, I want this food, think to yourself, may this food that I take in benefit the millions and billions of microscopic sentient beings inside of my body. And also, may the food I eat now give me the power, the energy, the wisdom to benefit all sentient beings. Another thing is when you eat, you can think to yourself and almost visualize, as I eat this food, all sentient beings are nourished with nourishing food, healthy food that makes them strong and brings them happiness. So you're visualizing in your mind benefit on all beings as you eat your food. So there's all types of ways, so many ways that the masters have taught us to cultivate bodhicitta, love, compassion, generosity, patience, ethical disciplines, joyful effort, concentration, wisdom of emptiness. There's so many ways. If you're really interested in walking the path of the Dharma, you just have to find it, read it, study, practice, reflect, and have devotion for the teacher, because the teacher is the medication that we need to treat the self-cherishing, self-grasping mind. So I just was thinking after my post from earlier, regarding my post from earlier, I really only talked about how to let go of the impermanent suffering and the impermanent experiences that we experience in samsara. And again, number one, just remember, I'm purifying my negative karma. Number two, I'm purifying my negative karma, which is positive. And I was going to have to do this at one point or another. So it's great that I'm doing it now. Number two, whatever I'm experiencing, no matter how bad, it is temporary. And the thoughts that I'm experiencing are temporary. Anger, sadness, depression, loneliness, frustration, resentment, whatever you can imagine. We have all of these thoughts going through our minds, mostly on a daily basis. If you're like me, you have those thoughts on a daily basis. Remember, whatever thought comes into your mind is like a piece of dust floating in the sunlight. If you ever look at the sunlight in your home, sun comes in the window and you can see little dust flakes dancing around if you get the right angle. Our thoughts are just like that. Our thoughts are not real or permanent or independent. So whatever experience comes up, number one, the experience itself is going to be temporary because everything is impermanent. Everything is temporary. But number two, whatever suffering we have is all coming here in the mind. Okay. So whatever suffering we have is mental. If we have physical pain, the physical pain is its own thing, but the suffering we experience as a result of our physical pain is exasperated by our mental aversion, resistance, rejection, and despair about the pain. So if we can learn to let go of the mental thoughts, emotions, ideas, concepts that arise about the world around us and our physical bodies, then we can really break free and become liberated from the infinite amount of samsaric suffering that's going on in the world. So that's how we deal with samsara. And then as it pertains to how we deal with producing the causes for happiness, again, it's very simple. It's the six paramitas, which are generosity, ethical discipline, joyful effort, patience, meditative concentration, and then the wisdom of emptiness, which to be more simple is the wisdom of dependent origination. Everything that exists arises dependently. It is a effect from a previous cause. Is it a result? It's a result from causes and conditions. Therefore, since everything exists and arises dependently, it means it has no self nature. It is independent. It's empty of self nature. So therefore, if you begin to contemplate the fact that everything we see is merely an effect produced from a previous cause, all of the things that are going on in our world, whether it's the trees that have grown up as a result of the seed, soil, sunlight, and water, or the clouds and trees and wind, the clouds are arising as a result of the moisture that's been sucked up into the air. And then that moisture is reflecting, the sun's reflecting off that moisture. So everything that is here is merely a result of previous causes and conditions. So it's not a solid thing. It doesn't have a self essence. It's just a dependent origination. And if we can remember that, then when somebody says something to us, let's say somebody comes up and says to me, Jason, you're old and fat and bald. Jason, you're so bald and ugly. There are two different things I could do. One, I could get very mad and say, don't talk to me like that. And I could say something to hurt them, right? Which would then create negative karma for me and for them. So that's one way that I could respond. The second way I could respond is I can remember that this person is simply saying something that they heard somewhere else. They learned from somebody else. Somebody else somebody else Okay, my dog's barking. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, somebody else taught those people how to yell and be angry and so forth. My dog's barking. I could get mad about that, or I could say, well, that's just a dog's nature, right? If I get mad at the dog that barks, it's the same as getting mad at fire for being hot. Why would I get mad at fire that was hot? That doesn't really make any sense. Fire's nature is hot. The dog's nature is to bark. It's just what they do. And the person that says something to us that makes us mad or sad or offended, they are taking action based on something that somebody taught them. They didn't make it up themselves to call me fat. They learned that. So whatever is arising for us is an effect produced from a previous cause. It's karmic residual. It is the result of a previous cause, and it won't last. It's completely temporary. So A, it's only a result of a previous cause. B, it's completely temporary. So therefore, if we take that approach and we begin to analyze everything, then we will, begin to be very, very happy, and we will have a better life, and we'll be happier to sentient being, and everybody will give us kisses like the puppy. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful morning. Have a wonderful evening. Sending out my love for all of you. I hope that all of you are happy, and sending prayers and love and kindness and wishes for all of you to be free from suffering. Okay, my friends. Okay, bye-bye. Take care.